Many people feeling close to retirement ask themselves, do I have enough?
Am I missing something?
At Diversified Wealth Strategies, we provide clarity during our complimentary, no-pressure consultation. We're independent advisors using big firm tools with a boutique-style approach.
And no crickets. We stay in touch so you're never left wondering.
At Diversified Wealth Strategies, let us show you how to capture the upside, limit the downside, and feel good inside.
Visit dwstrategies.com.
Securities and investment services offered through Osaic Wealth, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Osaic Wealth is separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Osaic Wealth.
Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, John McCure and Julia Fellow.
All right, hope you had a really great weekend. How was your weekend?
Very good. We had a giant bird's nest in our gutters.
Oh, the new house has birds in the gutters?
Yeah.
What did you have to do?
I mean, it was 2 feet by maybe 1 foot.
Whoa.
Once we got it all out.
So you got up there with gloves and
no,
you guys
eggs.
Cleared it out?
I was just on the bottom of the ladder just watching it in awe.
Did you do something to make sure the nest doesn't come back?
Yes. We have chicken wire.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. We're part of the joy of owning a home.
Weird.
Always something. All right, let's get to what we're tracking on this Monday.
This is the three at three on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
Number one, John, the possibility of severe weather today. Timing for north counties as early as 6 o'clock tonight along I-94 closer to 7, further south closer to 8. The event runs until about midnight or overnight. A good chance we'll see at least a few storms across southeast Wisconsin. The highest threat will last until 10 o'clock. The strongest could produce hail, damaging winds, even tornadoes. Also, there's that air quality alert. We have WTMJ meteorologist Craig Copeland joining us with an update exactly 1 hour from now.
All right, we're on top of it. The second thing, Julia, is that EAA Air Venture is underway in Oshkosh. You can be sure that they're watching it closely up there. 700,000 people are expected over the next week in Oshkosh. Wildfire smoke has affected some of the pilot arrival plans. They're hoping it stays away the next couple of days. Incredible stuff. The Royal Air Force Red Arrows will perform this weekend, their first tour of the United States. Top-tier military aircraft like C-5s and F-35s. And a big celebration of America's 250th anniversary. That's kind of the theme up there throughout the week. 6,000 volunteers powering the event. Eyes to the skies, preparing people that if there is bad weather, there are places to take shelter up there. It'll be the busiest airport in the world. This next week, it's EAA Air Venture. We will be there on Thursday. We're doing the show from there on Thursday. It's going to be great. If you're going to be up there, stop by and say hello. We will be there on Thursday all afternoon. Vince Vetrano and Eric Bilstead are there now.
They drove up there together.
Can you believe they drove together? Julia, that's what co-hosts do. They drive places together. What a novel idea.
No, we're not doing that.
Julia won't even drive to lunch with me. And it's not just me.
And you like that.
Well, it's not the worst thing.
We have phone calls to make.
We got
have
things
different
to do.
Music ideas.
That's true. Do you let your husband drive with you?
Sometimes. Number three, Peralta. Freddie Peralta versus Jacob Mizorowski, The Miz, tonight. How electric will that be? The first time The Miz is back on the mound after he was held back for workload management of his arm fatigue. He was scratched from the schedule start Sunday, July 12th against the Pirates, the game where he was lined up to start against Paul Skeens. He did not play in the All-Star game or the Marlins series, for that matter. So the hope is that this much-needed rest is deserved after throwing 111 innings this season so far alone. Now, here is The Miz during an interview during the All-Star game when an announcer asked how fast he thinks he could throw a baseball.
Maybe 106.
106.
Maybe.
Everything stars lined up right. You're pretty good.
Yeah.
Mechanically in sync.
We can say 106.
106.
We might have to nickname Nate something different than 105.
Mr. 106?
Yeah, maybe. We talked to Brewers play-by-play broadcaster Lane Grindle live at 4:35.
All right. Mr. 105 says that Vince Vetrano is on hold. He joins us from EAA up next. Oh, yes. EAA Air Venture Oshkosh is underway. And our guys, Eric Bilstead and Vince Vetrano, the hosts of Wisconsin's Morning News, have been up there on this first day. And Vinny is with us. How's the energy up there, Vince?
Pretty awesome, John. I mean, much what you would expect from that first day. A lot of folks are just taking it in. Some people spend the week, as you well know. They're going to be here every single day. So this first day is particularly exciting for them, is they're just getting their feet wet, seeing which aircraft are going to be featured this year in the status display. And a lot of people who are super passionate about aviation, they're into it for all the forums and the seminars and all the things that go on through the week. So pretty exciting so far today.
Vince, I heard that you were in the Nassau area.
So, yeah, Eric and I went over to the NASA tent, and they've got this huge setup in there. And what's so cool about that is kind of a big year for human spaceflight, right? We've had the Artemis missions ongoing, and Artemis 3 is going to be next up. 4 will put men and women back on the moon for the first time since this date, July 20th, 1969. So a lot of people in there to answer your questions of every kind in the NASA tent.
Vince, you know, one of the big deals is the pilots that fly in from all over the place. Did the wildfire smoke affect how that took place or what's happening on the grounds?
Yeah, it did, John. Eric and I just talked to one of these guys in the home-built area, and that's this whole area. I mean, what EAA stands for Experimental Aircraft Association, right? So you have folks who have built their own aircraft, either through kits or from scratch on their own, and many of them populate this fly-in every year. So we just talked to a guy. He was coming in from California on his aircraft. He said they stayed in Watertown, actually, and waited for the smoke to clear because he didn't want to risk trying to fly in those days when the smoke was really bad end of last week and even through the weekend.
He is Vince Vetrano, Vince and Eric at EAA Air Venture. Catch their stuff this week. We will be there on Thursday. Thanks for making some time for us, Vinny.
Hey, I sent you pictures. I'm coming to you live right now from the belly of a C-5, one of those giant cargo planes.
Oh.
You can't miss it when you get here. But look at the pictures. You guys don't want to stop here first.
Oh, that is so cool. All right, safe travels back, Vinny.
Talk to you guys. Bye.
Wisconsin's Afternoon News on WTMJ.
So Wisconsin governor's race is getting national attention. You've heard the details by now. Sarah Rodriguez, campaign issues, drops out. David Crowley had already dropped out. He's back in. By the way, David Crowley joins us exclusively live coming up at 4:45 here in the studio. How is this playing nationally? Gabby Vinnick, ABC News, is with us this afternoon. Gabby, good afternoon.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
I guess that's the first question. What's the national perspective on this Wisconsin story?
Yeah, well, you know, Wisconsin's always an interesting state being a battleground. I think that the news this weekend with Evers' endorsement really was the latest shakeup in the race as Democrats appear to scramble to coalesce around a candidate ahead of the primary. It also comes as, you know, there is scant, reliable statewide public polling. So I think, you know, Democrats are still trying to get a sense of who exactly is in the lead and who they may want to, you know, all get behind.
So Scott Ross, a Democratic analyst, is talking about the Governor Evers endorsement and what that may or may not mean. What are you hearing about that?
Yeah, I spoke with Scott. He told me, you know, it might be way too late. And if it doesn't come with money, it's way too little. Now, I did speak with Crowley after his speech on Saturday, and he countered that he would not have run if, you know, quote, we didn't believe that we would have accessed the necessary resources to win this race. So I think that's really what will be key to watching ahead of the August 11th primary is, you know, how much money he is able to raise. Is he able to get on the airwaves? I know he already, before dropping out, had put out an ad, but, you know, where is he going to be able to get the momentum to lift him? Are other Democrats going to get behind him?
And President Donald Trump has backed Representative Tom Tiffany, U.S. Congressman, who's running on the Republican side. How strong is that on the Republican side?
How strong is what was that?
Is a presidential endorsement.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think that, you know, I spoke with Charles Franklin, who, as you both know, I'm sure runs the Marquette Law School poll and you know, he was saying to me that the risk is, you know, with all of this momentum that we're seeing, that some may say that they are seeing behind State Representative Francesca Hong amid recent progressive wins that we're seeing around the country, that on the flip side, you know, it's possible it could dissuade voters in the more moderate lane if, you know, if there is a far-right candidate running in the governor's race. And the endorsement from Trump is powerful. We have seen how his candidates, not every candidate, but how he has had a lot of success this year in terms of getting his picks for his Republican nominees in a slate of races.
Gabby Vinnick, ABC News, with some national perspective on the developments in our governor's race. Gabby, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wisconsin's Afternoon News on Wisconsin's radio station, News Radio WTMJ.
It's 3:30. I'm John Mercure. Your top story, a cease and desist order over a clogged sewage pipe.
I'm Julia Fellow. An AI data center in Wisconsin catches fire.
I'm Debbie Lozaga. 894 southbound, just south of National Avenue. We do have the right lane blocked with a crash, so watch out for that. More delays then from Bubbeloit Road down and around the Hale Interchange to Forest Home. Southbound 41, heavy from Good Hope all the way to Capitol. Northbound has got some backups from before Mayfair Road all the way past an accident scene at North Avenue. It's off on the right shoulder, and then more delays up past Burleigh. I'm Debbie Lozaga with your WTMJ Time Saver Traffic.
Tonight we have a chance of some severe weather, possible tornadoes, and hail. Clearing conditions after midnight, a low of 72. Those wind gusts could reach 70 miles an hour. Tomorrow, less humid, more sunshine, a high of 84.
From the WTMJ Breaking News Center, the Milwaukee area advocacy group Common Ground is facing a cease and desist order from the operator of the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District.
The order relates to claims made in a statement by Common Ground that alleged a large pipe clog revealed last week was a result of neglect by the operator Veolia. MMSD's Kevin Schaefer says the clog was their responsibility and not Veolia's.
Because it was submerged, we never told them to do it because it's too hard to get into it.
Common Ground has alleged Veolia is routinely mismanaging water treatment facilities, allegations Veolia has repeatedly denied. The advocacy group had until the end of the day Monday to retract their statement. A spokesperson says they're still evaluating their options. Adam Roberts, WTMJ News.
The roof of Meta AI data center under construction in Beaver Dam caught fire today.
Looks like there's some thick black smoke coming from the roof of one of the buildings. No flames, just black smoke at this point. No explosions, no injuries at this point.
Scanner audio from Broadcastify. Firefighters responded last night to a facility on County Road A in Beaver Dam, finding a small fire involving a pile of discarded roofing materials. Damage to the building was minimal. No one was hurt. The cause of the fire is under investigation. This is a $1 billion, 700,000 square foot facility scheduled to be open next year.
A man allegedly set fire to a federal building in Manhattan this morning using fireworks. Assistant director in charge of the FBI's New York field office, James Barnicle, says the man was carrying anti-immigration and customs enforcement material and was armed with several weapons.
He ignited gasoline. He poured gasoline onto the ground. It ignited it with a lighter and an incendiary device. That device was a large firework in a canister.
A 43-year-old man was arrested. Police found a pellet gun, knives, a hammer, and a machete.
A federal judge has set former Olympian David Hearn's trial date for the end of next month in a felony case against him for allegedly damaging the reflecting pool at Lincoln Memorial.
Hearn's lawyers argue that the case should be dismissed, part because the Trump administration's repairs to the reflecting pool have altered evidence in the case, writing, quote, "The Constitution simply does not permit the government to charge a man with destroying an object, retain exclusive custody of that object, then drain, disturb, and alter that object before the defense may examine it. The Trump administration poured more than $16 million into renovating the reflecting pool and has blamed issues with it, including the sealant peeling and algae overtaking the water, on vandals without providing evidence. At least four people have been charged with damaging the reflecting pool, including Hearn, pleaded not guilty, and has denied wrongdoing." Peter Haralambos, ABC News.
A woman's in custody for shooting a child on Milwaukee's Northwest Side. Milwaukee County Sheriff's deputies arrested the 33-year-old woman today in connection to a shooting last Friday near 60th and Silver Spring. A 12-year-old was shot, taken to the hospital, and is expected to be okay. The cause of the shooting is still under investigation. Charges are pending.
Wisconsin is on pace for one of its most active tornado seasons ever.
The National Weather Service has confirmed 39 tornadoes across the state so far this year. That's already tied for the sixth most tornadoes in any full year since 1950, and there are still several months left in the severe weather season. The state typically averages 23 tornadoes in an entire year. So far, Wisconsin has recorded three EF3 tornadoes, two EF2s, 20 EF1s, and 13 EF0s, a majority of those hitting the state during April's severe weather outbreak. Neil Doyle, WTMJ News.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all sports desk. A walk-off win for the Brewers yesterday afternoon caps a three-game sweep of the Marlins. Pat Murphy's team trailed one zip in the bottom of the ninth.
Credit to our guys that we hung in and pitched the way we did, defended the way we did, and then we're in the position to do it. And then the big swing by William, that just, you just can't make that up.
Jacob Mizrowski takes the mound tonight in game one of a three-game series facing Freddy Peralta, the Brewers' former ace and the Mets. Our coverage starts after the 6 o'clock news right here on WTMJ. Packers rookies and select veterans report for training camp 1 week from today, with the first training camp practice scheduled for July 29th. Green Bay begins the preseason August 13th against the Steelers, and Spain's 1-0 victory over Argentina in the World Cup final drew 35 million viewers on Fox, 20 million on Telemundo.
Outdoor Living Unlimited, WTMJ News Time, 3:36.
Academic mortgage is an equalizing lender. NMLS ID 255368.
Rates are a little stuck, but what if you can save $2,000 or more on your mortgage payment in the next year while we're waiting for 30-year fixed rates to come back down? That's exactly what we just did for Amanda, who bought her home last summer with a traditional 30-year fix from Acunet at 6.99. With current rates now closer to 6.5, we reached out to her with two options. Save $90 a month or just over $1,000 a year on her $226,000 loan with no loan costs, or save $2,200 in the first year while we wait for rates to come back down. She chose door number two, which is what we're calling our Rate Buster Refi. It's a 30-year fixed rate loan with an effective rate of 5.88 for the first year and 6.88 for years 2 through 30. The APR is 6.89 with 25% equity and all the other right stuff. Hey, don't just sit there waiting. Click on the blue button today at Acunet.com and find out how much you can save with the traditional no loan cost refi or our new Rate Buster Refi. That's ACCUNET.com.
Wisconsin's afternoon news on WTMJ.
One, two pitch is a fly ball. Deep center field. Marcy's back. Trap. Wall. Fly. Fly. Baseball. Wild Bill. A three-run shot. And the Brewers walk off the Marlins. And they break out the brooms in Milwaukee.
Yeah, let's go. Man, that was incredible. Telly's dancing wherever he's at. Where are you right now?
I'm at home right now, yeah. But I'm feeling it, man. Reason to make you dance.
Woo! What a series. You know, everybody was worried after that little dip against the Pirates before the break. Marlins have been playing good. Cruz sweeps the Marlins. Get them out of here. Fish, see you later. Telly, as you think about where we are now and you look ahead to the second half of the season, how you feeling about things?
I'm feeling really good. And just think back, John, a year ago, after the All-Star break, the Brewers went out to L.A. and swept the Dodgers. And that started a streak of a really hot second half. And they come back this year and do the same thing. But when we had a chance to talk briefly earlier today, you asked me three things to look out for. And I really thought about it because I'm like, okay, I think number one, can the Brewers acquire a frontline starter? We have seen how important it is to have two aces on your staff come playoff time. And if the Brewers can get somebody to go along aside the Miz come playoff time, I think that would make Brewers fans feel a lot more confident moving forward. Secondly, how do they manage the Miz innings count? the rest of the way. He's already approaching innings and territories that he has never faced before, I mean, done before at the big league level. I think that was the reason why they extended his break and not let him start against the Marlins, because they gave him basically an extra 5 days to get more rest. And so we'll see how they manage his innings down the stretch to ensure he can be the dominant Miz he's been all season long come playoffs. The third thing, and most importantly, I believe, can the Brewers be fully healthy come playoff time? At the beginning of the year, we saw how many injuries they went through, and that got off to a slow start, but we saw how dynamic of a team they are when they are fully healthy. So I think if those three things come to fruition, hey, World Series might be in the Brewers' sight. They're too good of a team, and they do too many other things so well for them not to be in the mix come World Series time.
Telly, I have to bring up Hank Aaron. There was a mural that was just unveiled. Bud Selig there, and his widow, Billy, was there, and she was talking about when they came back to Milwaukee, the Black community during that time, how he helped with civil rights and how they have their own foundation. I mean, how instrumental was Hank Aaron in baseball and the MLB?
He was phenomenal. You never want to compare greats, but I think his impact in baseball was along the lines of Jackie Robinson. Because when he was chasing this record, you got to think of when this was going on.
Babe Ruth's record.
Aaron used to act 8-mil because he was trying to break Babe Ruth's record. And for him to persevere through all of that, and I had a chance to meet and interview him when I was with the Brewers. And you want to talk about one of the nicest individuals you would ever meet, and one of the most humble people that you would ever meet. And most of his greatest accomplishments in baseball, you really didn't even hear about. Big place off the field. And some of the things that he was able to do and help along a young Dusty Baker when Dusty got drafted. And basically, Hank Aaron was his surrogate dad. And he actually called his parents and told Dusty's parents, hey, I'll take care of him, and made sure that he was fine. And those are the stories that thankfully I've been privy to, but a lot of people haven't been. But what Hank Aaron was able to do, and during the times he did it, it was just so phenomenal. And everything that he gets towards him as far as accolades and acknowledgement, it's well-deserved.
I love that. Great stories. WTMJ's Telly Hughes. Good stuff, Telly. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Have a great show.
Wanted to bring you up to speed on a couple very interesting and some would say scary things that are happening in the world. We are joined by our good friend Eric O'Neill, former high-ranking FBI operative, security consultant currently. Eric, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, John. It's good to be with you again.
Eric, I want to start by asking you, Julia and I do, about some questions involving drones and that sort of thing. It comes as service members have been killed reportedly by either fallout from a ballistic missile or, I just read, more likely a drone attack at a base where they were. Also comes the same day as Moscow came under attack from 500 drones that apparently flew at least 300 miles. Drone technology and use on the battlefield. Can you take us inside how tough that is to defend?
I certainly can. And so what we're really talking about here is two kinds of drones. We have the drones that are frequently used by the United States, and probably the most famous is the Predator drone, which is actually piloted by a human. So you'll have a human sitting maybe in Arizona or Virginia and piloting a drone across the world who then can make the decisions. But what we're seeing now is this new series of drones that is using autonomous AI to make decisions on the fly. So that is the kind of drone you're seeing 500 of them going to Moscow. Those are the sort of drones that Iran is sending, and they can be a little bit more indiscriminate, which is a bit more scary because it's always better to have a human making decisions before a machine kills another person.
That's scary. So the sophistication's different. What about the power of an Iranian drone, Eric?
Well, what they don't have is the sort of technology that we do, certainly, but they do have a lot of it. Iran has been focusing on building drones for some years. It was one of their major ideas in how they would fight a future war. Of course, now they're in a future war. They were, of course, getting quite a bit of support from Russia and China. China has been innovating in both AI and drones, and we know they all work together. And so what you're seeing is drone attacks from Iran, where these drones can actually be used as mobile bombs. And you're seeing the Ukrainians use it against Russia. And this new mechanized autonomous warfare is really the future of war. If you look at our warfighters here in the United States, the Naval Academy, for example, has a air, sea, and undersea drone facility that they've built at the Academy where new midshipmen are learning to fight with drones that talk to each other, from submersibles to on the water to in the air. And I think that taking the human out of the attack vehicle is the future of warfare.
Former FBI operative Eric O'Neill is with us on WTMJ. So, Eric, whether it's drone use in the Strait of Hormuz or drones being used in the attack we described on the base, apparently somewhere in the Middle East, how tough is it to defend against this sort of drone attack?
The thing about a drone is it doesn't have a human pilot, so it has no fear. It's going to go after its target, and if it's destroyed, it doesn't really care. They can also be used as I said earlier, mobile bombs. So what I suspect happened to the one service member, and I believe it was Iran or Iraq, is when they were trying to disable the drone,
Iraq,
which had crashed, it exploded. Right, Iraq. It exploded, and that's what I would suspect killed them. Some of these drones are literally just flying bombs. They're sent after a target, and they will just fly as fast as they can. Of course, a drone can maneuver better than a fighter with a person in it because it doesn't have to worry about banking at such an extent that the G forces will black out a human pilot. It can maneuver much faster. It can go at higher speeds. And some of the technology is even getting dumber. And what I mean by that is we can intercept drones if they're networked, if they're calling back to a station, if there's some sort of signal going to the drones. We have the technology to intercept them. So many of the drones coming out of Iran, for example, are set and forget. They're told this is where you're going to go, and the AI takes over, and there's no kill switch to it.
Wow.
Because they don't want it to be intercepted. And that can be really scary. Iran is also doing that with ballistic missiles. So missiles that are fired at a high rate of speed at a trajectory, and they're much harder to intercept with technologies like Iron Dome.
So with the Jordan Air Base in particular, there were two different members of our U.S. Armed Services that died. Do you think that in that case, is it different from the situation where there was a detonation that they were trying to do in Iraq, where there was just so many drones coming at them that they couldn't stop one of them?
Well, we don't know all of the details, but what I suspect is in the former case, you know, they were attacked by missiles and drones, and you know, when there was an actual direct hit, they weren't intercepted. Some of the missiles weren't intercepted, and it turned out people died. They were looking for people in the rubble. And what Iran is doing is it doesn't have the technology to hit us here in the United States, so it is hitting our bases in different regions where they can reach in and among our allies. So that's why you see them firing at Iraq or Bahrain or Saudi Arabia, although they've always hated Saudi Arabia, second only to Israel and the U.S. So it's not a surprise they're hitting them as well.
FBI operative, highly decorated operative Eric O'Neill is with us on WTMJ. Eric, a question about a different topic. Declassified documents show China has sought to interfere in our elections. What's your perspective on what this means?
Yeah, it's a pretty fascinating case, and actually one that was so interesting to me. I went through those documents just to get a gut check over whether what they're saying is true, what the administration is saying is true. First of all, it's always fascinating when an administration declassifies documents that have been classified for quite some time. And if you were to go onto whitehouse.gov and take a look at the documents, of course, even though they've been substantially declassified, there is a lot of redacted black boxes in it, because there are some things that are ways and means that are top secret that they're never going to want to reveal. But at the end of the day, what it does show is that China not only had the capability, but the interest in influencing or attacking our election infrastructure. So there's kind of two ways to think about it. One is influence campaigns. We've been seeing this for many years, where they're using social media, they're using dishonest media, they are using media who they are fooling in order to launder information into the American people and change the way we think to their benefit, right? That's always happened. But what these documents are saying is that they also had the capability to disrupt our election infrastructure. Now, I dug deeper, and the documents do show that it is indeed true that they never changed a vote and they never actually succeeded in doing it. But as a cybersecurity professional, what I can tell you is, anytime we identify a vulnerability, at some point, if we don't fix that vulnerability, then the adversary will find a way to breach it. So going forward, what this really means is the United States has to work very carefully to shore up our election infrastructure and make sure that China or Russia or Iran or North Korea, all of which have tried to meddle, aren't able to successfully do something that could actually change a person's vote.
Former high-ranking FBI operative security consultant Eric O'Neill. Eric, thank you so much. We appreciate it always.
Yes, you are very welcome, and I'll look forward to next month.